Welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, Tortoise provides a timely update on trending topics in the market.
Welcome to the Tortoise Podcast series on the water sector. Thanks for listening. I am Pam Carney, and I'm joined by Nick Holmes and Evan Lang, portfolio managers of Tortoise's actively managed water strategies. With the end of the year approaching, we wanted to touch base on the latest news in the water sector and preview the year ahead. Evan and Nick, I understand it's been a busy quarter. What have you all been up to the last few months?
Thanks, Pam. Yes, it's been an eventful quarter as we attended a number of water conferences and met with numerous management teams. We remain excited as ever about the water investment opportunity. Water stress continues to emerge with billions of people across the globe living without clean water and basic sanitation. The most recent example of this is Chennai, India, where critical institutions such as schools and hospitals were shut down as a city of almost 9 million people suffered from a severe water shortage. The need for increased investment in infrastructure and technology to solve the water crisis is clear as ever, and we believe that investment provides attractive return potential while also generating a positive impact to communities across the globe as water remains the world's most precious commodity.
Thanks, Evan. What are the new challenges and opportunities facing the water market that were highlighted at the conferences you recently attended?
Sure. A critical challenge that is becoming a more frequent concern is water quality. Most are familiar with lead contamination issues in communities such as Flint, Michigan, but what's becoming more concerning is chemicals polluting water sources, and they are growing at an alarming rate. There are currently 50 million registered chemicals in the United States. It took 33 years to identify the first 30 million and only 9 months to identify the last 10 million chemicals. Every 2.6 seconds, a new compound is formed. The acceleration in emerging contaminants is driving fear about the water we are consuming, as water treatment and test techniques struggle to keep pace.
What chemicals are most problematic?
The chemical under the microscope currently is PFAS, a collection of man-made chemicals. I'll do everyone a favor by not pronouncing the full scientific name, but check the script for full spelling. PFAS, also known as forever chemicals, were invented in the 1940s and were the main ingredients in non-stick and waterproof coatings. The chemical quickly gained acceptance and was used in a number of everyday products, such as microwavable popcorn bags, stain-resistant carpet, and firefighting foams, among many. The most noteworthy everyday products were DuPont's Teflon and 3M Scotchgard. While commercially effective, the persistent chemicals quickly presented negative health consequences. 3M and DuPont studies found high exposure to PFAS caused severe adverse health effects. Despite these studies, PFAS chemicals were used until the early 2000s, resulting in widespread water contamination. In fact, one study suggests that 100 million Americans may have some level of PFAS in their drinking water.
Wow, that's a scary thought. These chemicals have been around for a number of years. Why is the public just now concerned?
The increase in concern has been amazing. In fact, American Water Works Association's 2019 State of Water Industry Report, PFAS was the second highest ranked regulatory concern. It wasn't even ranked prior to 2014. We believe the rise has been driven by new studies published on the health risk of PFAS, billions of dollars of settlements stemming from lawsuits of 3M and DuPont, with potentially more to come, and now a recently released movie called Dark Waters, which our team pre-screened before it hit national theaters. Dark Waters focuses on Cincinnati attorney's efforts to help a West Virginia community suffering from water contamination due to DuPont polluting a nearby water supply with PFAS. The movie highlights the potential health risk of exposure to PFAS and suggests DuPont covered up decades worth of secret research about the dangerous impacts of these chemicals on public health. We highly recommend the movie that features Mark Ruffalo, Anne Hathaway, Tim Robbins, to name a few. It's even getting some Oscar buzz. Not only do we think this movie will increase public awareness on water quality issues, but also act as a catalyst for increased investment in the water sector.
That's great. I will definitely check it out. What is the opportunity set for investment in treating PFAS?
Yeah, that's a great question. We believe there's a big opportunity for investment in water treatment and test technology directed at solving PFAS contamination. These technologies include activated carbon, ion exchange, and reverse osmosis. We expect investment in these technologies will support continued earnings growth in the water sector. The American Water Works Association estimates that $38 billion needs to be spent on treatment to meet the lowest allowable amount of PFAS in water among various states in the U.S. it could potentially cost up to $370 billion and over $12 billion on an annual basis to remove PFAS completely. Clearly a big opportunity for investment and in turn potential earnings growth driver.
Great. What were some of the other topics of interest for the sector at the conferences you attended?
Sure. In addition to the discussion around emerging contaminants, we heard from a number of companies and state regulators detailing other supportive legislation in the water sector in the United States that is expected to drive significant opportunities for consolidation and infrastructure investment over the next decade plus. Specifically, momentum around fair market value legislation, single tariff legislation, and the Water Accountability Act are enabling consolidation opportunities for investor-owned utilities, or IOUs. Let's take a deeper dive into each one of these regulatory drivers, starting with fair market value. Fair market value legislation reconciles the disconnect between market and book valuations, which incentivizes consolidation in the water space. Historically, prior to the passage of fair market value legislation, investor-owned utilities acquired water and wastewater systems at depreciated book value, which considerably undervalued the systems for the municipalities selling them and also limited the IOU's ability to grow its rate base. Today, in the states with fair market value legislation, independent valuation experts appraise the assets and determine the value of the system being acquired to determine fair value for the selling municipality and allow the investor-owned utility to include the purchase system in their rate base at market value. In addition to fair market value legislation, we are also seeing states adopt single tariff or consolidated tariff legislation, which provides a unified rate structure for water systems owned by a single utility. Larger utilities are able to mitigate rate shocks to customers by spreading infrastructure spend over a larger customer base. This allows municipal systems with significant investment requirements to sell their systems to larger investor-owned utilities with consolidated rates to minimize the impact to their customers' monthly water utility bills. Lastly, two states have adopted the Water Quality Accountability Act, which sets operational standards and requirements for water and wastewater operators in areas such as asset management, cybersecurity, among others. Over time, we anticipate further adoption to drive consolidation, as many of the 52,000 separate water systems in the U.S. do not have the expertise or systems in place to comply with the standards set by the regulation. In summary, we believe the combination of the legislation mentioned above, as well as municipalities' strained budgets and inability to maintain compliance with increasing regulation, will all be catalysts accelerating privatization of water and wastewater systems in the United States. We believe the investor-owned utilities in the U.S. will benefit from the opportunity to provide safe, clean water to customers at affordable prices.
Thank you for that thorough update on the regulatory landscape. I want to switch gears a bit and discuss the equity performance of the water sector.
Absolutely. Year to date, the water sector has continued to perform well, with the S&P Global Water Index up approximately 29% through November. Additionally, the index continues to outpace the broader market as measured by the MSCI World Index over the year-to-date period, the 1, 3, and 5-year timeframes. The strong performance of the water space over the last several years is being driven by the strong tailwinds we have detailed in previous podcasts, including the need for significant investment in infrastructure and technology to combat growing water scarcity and quality issues around the globe.
Good to hear a number of the fundamental tailwinds you have talked about are resulting in equity appreciation in the space. Do you have any thoughts on the outlook for the water sector in 2020?
Sure. I'll provide a brief preview of our 2020 outlook. In 2020, we continue to see strong earnings momentum for a number of the companies operating in the water sector. Our initial total return outlook for the water sector in 2020 is in the high single digits to low double digits range. Our outlook is being driven by a combination of the 2% yield in the water sector and expected earnings growth of 7 to 9%, all while assuming a flat exit multiple. We will provide a more robust 2020 outlook in a podcast in late January or early February, so be on the lookout for that. That concludes our remarks. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseadvisors.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intention. Discussion or analysis of any specific company-related news or investment sectors are meant primarily as a result of recent newsworthy events surrounding those companies or by way of providing updates on certain sectors of the market. Tortoise, through its family of registered investment advisors, does provide investment advice to Tortoise-related funds and others that includes investment into those sectors or companies discussed in these podcasts. As a result, Tortoise does stand to beneficially profit from any rise in value from many of the companies mentioned herein, including companies within the investment sectors broadly discussed.